All right.
I want to first thank the People's Organization for Progress for allowing us this opportunity, Brother Larry Ham. This slate, which is the Justice Unity slate, we thought we might have other slates here, by the way, so it was, we came prepared for that. And the forums that we've been having up to this point in time have been mainly in New York, but we've had some upstate, and we've had a couple, I think, in New Jersey that was organized by one of the slates, I think, Paul Sorovel's slate. And will be more. Brother Larry stated, the elections is basically bang right in front of us. The ballots go out January 5th and don't have to be returned to February 5th. This evening, we have a number of people who are here. The elections is broken. I'm just going to do a very quick thing in a short, very short perspective from me, and then other candidates can come up, because we really want you to ask questions. We really want this to be a dialogue and a discussion here about really the value and importance of this election. And obviously we feel that organizations such as POP are extremely important, grassroots organizations, mass organizations are really organizing in the community. And I don't have to stroke y'all. Y'all know y'all get props. And that's the reason why we're here. And so I think that that's really, really important. We're going to try to get in Patterson. I think there's supposed to be something in East Orange or something going on. We might try to do something in Jersey City as well. This evening, Brother Panama, Vicente Panama Alba is here with us. Who else is here? Jackie Mestras is here. Jacqueline Mestra. We have, who else do we have? We have Evan Tobias. Evan is from upstate New York in Rockland County, right, Evan? Right. And we have a very good sister from Brooklyn, New York, who's also running, and she's running as a member of the staff, and I'll break that down. Her name is Margaret Dominique. Margaret. Hey. Margaret is Haitian, and as we all know, this is the anniversary, the 200th anniversary of the Haitian Revolution, and she's an activist in the Haitian community. And in fact, we was having a discussion on our way over here about Haiti. Hey. And so, and also myself, Muntu Masemelo. Now, the local station board replaces the local advisory board. The difference is this. Over the last 18 months, there's been a bylaws process. Because all y'all remember, a few years ago, there was a major battle to fight this corporate takeover that we had in Pacifica nationally. WBAI in New York City played a major role in that national battle. And as a result of that, which was essentially the political battle, the organizing and activist community battle in conjunction with a legal battle. There were several lawsuits that were filed against the corporate hijackers in the Pacifica National Board that forced them to a legal settlement. That legal settlement essentially agreed to creating new bylaws, and we saw those bylaws as putting in place rules and regulations that the foundation, the Pacifica Foundation, the corporation would abide by, that would prevent, in essence, the takeover that occurred, that we fought for many years, not just three. Began way in the West Coast in Berkeley, California, in KPFA, which was the founding radio station of the Pacifica Foundation. You know, we have five radio stations, KPFA in Berkeley, KPFK in L.A., KPFT in Houston, WPFW in Washington, D.C., and WBAI here in New York City. And at that settlement essentially said that there would be a local station board election that would have real teeth, would have authority and powers, as opposed to the local advisory board that we currently have. That's the current structure. That local station board that's elected, that will be elected, will replace the current local advisory board. And Panama is a member of the local advisory board of WBI currently. That local advisory board is being replaced with the local station board. It has budget overview, oversight issues, and tied to the WBI budget. It has intervention in hiring with respect to the two top managerial positions. program director and the general manager. Okay, it has other kinds of interventions that are very important with respect to the running of the WBI station. We're going to be involved in fundraising and a number of critical issues with respect to WBAI ongoing. And also, very importantly, each one of these new station boards will send to the Pacifica National Board 4 new Pacifica Board members. And the Pacifica National Board is comprised of 4 members from each radio station, comprising 20 newly elected members that come from these local stations that I just laid out. And that will comprise the new governing body of the Pacifica National Board, and that runs the foundation. So you see the critical importance of this election. It will establish a local station board that has real live powers and authority. It will send to the Pacifica National Board the new governing body of the Pacifica National Board that, in fact, runs the national office. In fact, the national office and the national executive director, who's currently Dan Coughlin, which is based now back in Berkeley, operates at the pleasure of the Pacifica National Board. Currently, you have an interim Pacifica National Board that was created after that settlement that I talked about. That formula resulted in, by the way, a plurality where those who fought, the activists, the progressive movement, gained control of the interim Pacifica National Board. That's what happened, which gave us the ability to do these things, to make these changes, and effect to be right before you this evening. So that's the importance. But really, there's a lot more important things there. And the main struggle in the bylaw struggle was, how would you go about conducting the elections for the new local station board? And that struggle, and that issue of elections talked about issues of democracy, issues of outreach, diversity, and inclusion. The Justice Unity Slate was a group of activists that was very diverse. We were disabled. We were Asians. We were African ancestry. We were Latinos. We were people who came from the youth and women's movements, the feminist movement, the gay, lesbian, transgender movement. We represented a lot of different communities, put together a model that we called the model of inclusion. And we fought for a model that said that these communities that we wanted to go to, that were comprised of newly elected local station boards, would be governed by the principle of self-determination, and that we would bring these communities together, these communities that we call the constituent communities, right? Now, that doesn't exist now. What exists today is a model where we have to go out and bring these communities into organizing. That model that we fought for 18 months, we lost that fight, which was a real struggle for self-determination with teeth, a struggle for inclusion with teeth, and we lost that fight. That fight that we lost was lost because there was powerful forces opposing real affirmative action in Pacifica. Real powerful forces in WBI and real powerful forces nationally. And then you look at the history of that fight, you can really begin to see who these people are and where they come from politically. So it isn't just affirmative action. It's about power sharing. That's what the struggle has always been about. It's about power sharing. It's about real diversity. It's about real communities and about people who come from those real communities having to participate in a real way in the governance of their local radio station. That's what it's all about. Okay? I have a history of struggle. I've been involved in the movement for a very long time. More than 30 years, original Black Panther. I've known Panama, for example, and he's in high school in the South Bronx. That's when we first met. I've been in a lot of different organizations over the years, human rights organizations, civil rights organizations, tenant organizer, housing organizer, organized a lot of students, a lot of international movements. I'm basically a revolutionary nationalist. I'm also, being quite frank, I'm a revolutionary Marxist. I'm an internationalist. I'm a Pan-Africanist. I see labor as a primary organizing sector that we have to be involved in, and we have labor in our slate. We have people who are active labor organizers. Panama Vicente Alba is an active labor organizer. We have Ray LaForest, District Local 1707, ASME, a Haitian activist and an active labor organizer. And so these are the people that I wanted to work with. And I started working in the bylaws section, and I helped to bring in an organization called the Community for Progressive Radio, CPR. And we began to organize around getting the station back. We helped also put together a group that was spearheaded and initiated by Juan Gonzalez, the co-host of Democracy Now! That was the Pacifica National Campaign. And we joined with the Friends of WBAI and other local groups around the listening area in Jersey and in upstate and in Connecticut, and we fought and we successfully won. Like I said, I have a long-standing history of organizing. I'm an attorney. I've been an attorney since 1988. You know, I see myself as a human rights activist primarily. I'm a global activist. I'm in the Global African Congress Reparations Mobilization Coalition. I'm one of the members of this working group for Reparations National Congress. And I'm an at-large producer. I've been a producer of special events for WBAI. And basically bringing the radio station into the community and then having the community then broadcast those events from the community, you know, through the studio and sometimes even nationally through live broadcast. And so that's who I am. That's my history. It's an open book. We all have our bios in our website, and you can check it out, justiceunity.org. We have everybody's bio, every candidate, what we've done, what we've been about, our histories, and how we see the WBI radio station, this local station board election. We each have a perspective on that, and we have a 500-word statement that talks about how we see these elections. Without any further ado, I'm going to stop running my mouth. We're going to have hopefully a good Q&A, a good dialogue, and whoever wants to come up and speak can do that. Thank you.
I want to, my name is Vicente Alba. If you call me Vicente or Alba, you're not going to get a response from me because my name is Panama, and that's how everyone knows me, and that's how I know myself, actually. But before I take your time, I want to just clarify something. When I met Muntu, I was a teeny-weeny toddler, okay? And I just want to make sure people understand that. He was an old man. I was a teeny toddler. I am very proudly running on the Justice and Unity slate, and I actually am going to take cue from my brother right there and say that I came here to make a collection, okay, to make a collection of your support. That is why we're here today. I have two grandchildren. One is a 8-month-old girl. The other one is a 2.5-year-old terror. But he's my grandson, and I love him. They're both Muslims. My son converted to Islam, married an Islamic woman. I have friends whose children are now in Afghanistan, are now in Iraq. In the short time that since we arrived here, we've talked about Haiti, we've talked about Vieques, we've talked about the world is in crisis, and the media that our people have access to is the corporate media that represents the interest of the people who are in Iraq, in Afghanistan, in Vieques. Those people are the same people who, oh, by the way, and this is extremely important, the PBA, the Police Benevolence Association in New York City, has been paying for these billboards. And what they say is something that, when I was a teen toddler with Montu, I had heard. And that was that the police are an occupational force in our communities. They publicly today ask people to support the troops abroad and at home. After 40 years, I finally heard the cops admit that in our community, they are an occupational force. That is the world that we are really living in.
Right.
And if you were to go to ABC, CBS, NBC, WYNS, the rest of that, that world would not be reflected. It would be a very different, very, very distorted. We need for our people, and when I say our people, I don't mean Latinos. I don't mean people of African ancestry. I don't mean the worker. I don't mean the Haitians. I mean the whole caboodle. Our people. Those who are the victims of that system, those whose voices are not heard, those whose realities are not known by one another. See, the Haitian community and the Panamanian community need to know about Kwanzaa. The Asian community and the indigenous community need to know about Vieques. We need to know about one another. See, that is what inclusion really is. It's not about me surrendering my being Latino in order to be able to hang with you. You see, it's that I want to enjoy your music and I want you to enjoy mine. So we can enjoy it together. That is the way that we can come together and fight together. And let me say a quick thing about fight. It's not an option. We do not have an option. I never declared war on anybody. But as a teeny weeny toddler, I learned that there are forces that have declared war on us. And sometimes we get diluted because I could buy a Fat Farm jacket and buy a $300 pair of sneaker, and I'm free to go to the movie of my choice. But that is only so until the moment when somebody decides that it is no longer so. That's not freedom. Okay? It's not freedom when the only thing that my grandchildren hear in school is how Europe is the center of the universe. And so we need an alternative to that that is against us. And in terms of the media, the Pacifica Network and WBAI in this listening area are the alternative, could be a much better alternative if we can have the opportunity to involve ourselves in the governance, in the programming, so that programming is inclusive. It's a funny thing, like, I'm going to be very brief, I know there's other candidates, but I want to say this. If you hear about the environmental struggle, you hear about how these environmentalists, you know, and I always used to think about, you know what, the spotted owl and the bull-headed eagle and the humpback whale, all real nice stuff, you know, I want them to survive. And but you know what, in the priority of things, they're like really far down on my list because the human race in jeopardy. So, you know, the bull-headed eagle is going to have to wait for my time to get there. But you usually hear about environmental issues as a white movement. The struggle for environmental justice is taking place primarily in our communities, but nobody knows about it. So we need WBAI. I'm going to start out with what I... I'm going to finish with what I started out. I came here to make a collection. I came here to make a collection, not for Panama. Because if Panama gets elected, and I have to sit in a station board with the people who are on the other side, I'm not going to do anything. I won't be able to do anything. So I am going to here tonight to ask you to support the Justice and Unity slate members, every one of them, so that together we could make something better than what BAI already is. And I ask you that, please, and I ask you not just to not forget to vote. I'm going to ask you to make sure you speak to every single individual that you know who is a voting eligible member of WBAI and cast their vote. Thank you very much, and God bless you.
Well, hello, good evening. My name is Jacqueline Mestre. I'm also running for the local station board, and as Panama said, very proudly on the Justice and Unity campaign slate. We did pass out some literature, which you'll have, which will spell out the principles of our platform, and I'm sure you'll agree the importance of bringing these things to pass. And this is why we are all running to be members of the local station board. A little bit about me. I'm 33 years old. I live in New York now, 1 year, first in Manhattan, now in Brooklyn. And actually, before I moved to New York, I lived in Kearney for a little short stint. So I used to take care of a lot of business in Newark. And not only that, but I'm born and raised in Passaic, which is right down Route 21. Lived there for 28 years. And so, you know, our communities are very closely connected, and a lot of our struggles are the same. I'm a second-generation activist and organizer. I'm very proud of that. My mother was part of the struggles that affect all of our communities where I'm from, and I saw that growing up and did everything from work the elections when I was 18, whether it was translating or assisting in the whole process or working on campaigns in an organizing fashion. I represented the youth as well as Hispanics and just all oppressed peoples in our communities because, I mean, if you know about Passaic, you know historically it's been run by a Jewish mayor and, you know, the struggle between making Passaic Park a separate entity, you know, all those same class and race struggles that go on. So I've been living this and I've been fighting this my whole life and I continue on that path and till the day I die, which hopefully won't be too soon. I didn't set out to run for the local station board. I became involved through this whole wonderful process through Panama's inclusion. I was asked to come to different meetings that had to do with different issues, and then I was invited to become a member of the Latino Committee. And then we started working with WBAI on their programming and inclusion of Hispanic programming on the station. We're in negotiations for increasing that right now at the moment, so we've been successful in many areas. And as Panama and Muntu have said, this is very, very important what's going on. It's very important that if you're voting members, that you look at who's running. If you need to ask any questions about where any of these people stand, you can go to the website, WBAI.org. You can read everyone's statements. You can go to our website, which for all of you who have internet access is justiceunity.org. justiceunity.org, and you'll see a list of all the listeners and all the staff that are running, our statements. We also have questionnaires that we filled out that'll give you more insight into our background and where we stand on different issues. And ask us, you know, because there are a lot of people who are running for these seats that are available who do not belong on the local station board. Mm-hmm. The same people that, you know, these brothers fought in the coup and that Panama went to jail over in order to take back the station from the corporate interests. You know, so we're real fighters. We're real people with real connections to our communities, not these other people who want to come in and be like armchair activists or just want to rule the radio station so that their agenda can get across and just forget about the issues of the rest of the community that the station serves. So with that all said, You can find my email. I'll give it to you now briefly if you like. It's JAC and my last name, MESTRE, Jacqueline Mestre, at hotmail.com. But you can go to the site and read up on all of us. And, you know, if you have any questions, because it is hard within the entire climate to decide out of 21 seats, who do I vote for and why? And that's why we're here, because we're big on outreach. We believe that this is the way to help the station to be as successful as it should be. Because once you increase listenership and community input, you increase membership, now you're being serviced, you want to listen to the station, you want to get involved, you're becoming educated on all issues that affect, you know, because Newark is huge. There's so much going on in Newark, even in itself, you know, and to know what's going on in Passaic and to know what's going on in Brooklyn, because our struggles are the same. And then we can unite in different activities. You know, we can fight together, because that's what it is. There is a big fight, like you said. They've declared war on us, and we're here to be at least your warriors at WBAI, should you so elect us. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Evan Tobias. I'm 26 years old. I'm an educator. I'm a union member. I'm an activist. And I'm up in Rockland County. I'm the webmaster and one of the leaders of the Rockland Coalition for Peace and Justice. And I was very active in Rockland County. I got asked by a bunch of people in Rockland to be part of the local station board election. And then I got asked what my views were on affirmative action and diversity. And so I was then included in the Justice and Unity slate. And when I sat through your meeting for, you know, about an hour, and I was inspired by it. I've listened to Panama countless times. I've listened to Jackie countless times. I get exhilarated when they speak. And I've gone to these meetings where people want to suppress their voices.
Right.
And they're coming and asking me, do you know who you're on a panel with? Do you know these people that you're associating yourself with? I say, yes, I know who they are, and I'm proud to be a part of them. I'm proud to be with this. I've always lived in the suburbs all my life, and never have I witnessed such an assault on people being part of a station and diversity. People that are actively working to make sure that affirmative action does not take place.
Yes, sir.
People working actively to make sure that only certain people are heard on the people's radio.
Yeah.
And I didn't understand this at first, and here I am coming into this, and now more than ever I want to be part of the struggle. I haven't, you know, been part of the struggle that many people have. I've worked for peace and justice. But now I'm part of a struggle that is a major struggle, and there are people that are in positions of power, and there are people that have lots of money, and they're working actively to make sure that their viewpoint is the one that takes over the station, and I want to make sure that doesn't happen.
Right.
This is a time, as Panama said, and Muntu said, that you're hearing more and more of the commercial media speak the same thing. And it's not only information, it's culture as well. I teach music, and I teach music to middle school students. And I played for them the other day some music from Haiti. I said, why aren't you hearing this on the radio? I played them some music from Latin America. Why aren't you hearing this on the radio? Some music from the apartheid movement in South Africa, the anti-apartheid movement from South Africa. Why are you not hearing this on the radio? And they just look at each other and they don't understand why. And there's no place for them to get any other information, any other music on the radio. And BAI could be that place. BAI could be a place where people that are doing music, local people that are doing positive music, can get their voices heard on that radio. But we need to make it so. We need to make sure that that's the place. I believe in music as an expression, but I believe in music as empowerment. And all throughout struggle, all throughout people working for freedom, music has always been a part of that. And that's the type of music that really needs to be on WBAI, and we need to make sure that that goes on. In Rockland, we've been using our website as a nexus, as a hub for activism. And one of the positions of our slate is to use BAI as a hub for activism within the tri-state area. And people are doing things. In Newark, you have a lot going on. In Spring Valley, in Rockland County, there's a lot going on. They're working on affordable housing. When I went to Harlem the other day, the tenant council is working against gentrification of Harlem. In Haverstraw, in Rockland County, they're trying to put luxury housing in the community there. And there's a small struggle going on here, there's a small struggle going on here, but it's so easy to be isolated from one another. And BAI as a radio station could really be the connection between all these different struggles and bringing people together. And I think that BAI has the power to do that, and it's important that it does do that, so that when you have your forum on Haiti, that and excuse the mispronunciation, but Khan Lebet Nakai over in Spring Valley, which is working for, they did a recent celebration of Haiti, can work together so that you have multiple groups coming from different areas to unite and to come together. And that's, we are the Justice and Unity Slate. We're all about being together as one, as a slate. We're also about bringing all these different communities together for BAI. And that's why I'm on the slate, and that's why I hope you give us your vote, and so we could work with you to bring all of us together to work for positive changes.
Well, good evening, folks. Well, my name is Margaret Dominique, and I'm from Haiti originally, but I grew up in Brooklyn. I did all my schooling in Brooklyn, and I'm a science teacher by trade. I also teach English as a second language to adults. While I grew up here and being from a different country, you don't actually get to know what is really going on in the country itself, and you start learning about the racism, how up until not too long ago that blacks were under the segregation laws, all the things that went on. And then you start listening to the one-sided stories, and you hear they talk about Libya, South Africa, and all other places. You hear about the Palestine. You hear about the PLO. You hear about and Gaddafi, Mad Dog, as in the newspapers. You hear all these headlines. And then to hear some of your colleagues repeating exactly what's quoted in the mainstream media. And when you ask them a question, well, where is Libya? They don't really know where it is, even. Where is Haiti? Is it Tahiti? Or they don't really know. But with Haiti, as they start hearing about Papa Doc and Baby Doc, and Haiti's been in the news a lot, and they ask, well, what's wrong with these people that they cannot behave themselves? And they keep asking all sort of questions. And then you begin to ask, what is wrong with these people? And when I try to get into a discussion with them and arguing and showing them, and then I begin to feel either that where are they coming from? What's producing these people with these type of thoughts? And then I begin to look at myself, to look at my miseducation about this country, about the I notice in the school students are fighting one against the other. This one is saying, I'm a Jamaican and you're a Haitian, you have all these issues, baby doc, papa doc, and during the AIDS epidemic they're trying to link the Haitians. They place the Haitian as one of the categories of people who are the AIDS carrier and so on. And this is when I got conscious, and before that, when they were, the Haitians were coming in and some of them were taken in prisoners and put into concentration camp, like in Nkwam. And I feel that, well, I cannot stay silent. I have to do something. So first to try to educate myself on what the real issues are, not around Haiti, but around the world. And when I run into students, since there's a tendency, if you grow up in this country, and there's a separation between you and the newer Haitians that are coming into the country. So, and because once you've assimilated into the American culture, and you fear of the negative stereotypes that we're putting on you. Haitian, you get carriers of AIDS, you boat people and all that.
Yes.
And if you can speak English, you forget to speak your own language. So I got involved with the community, finding out what the problems were, especially in the education field, because you had kids who were coming in, didn't speak English, they were being placed in special education, and where they needed bilingual education. So I started working with students, with teachers, getting teachers aware and teaching them and getting involved, going to the community organization, grassroots organization, let's put together around the immigration issue. People getting deported, arrested back then, before 9/11. Now it's rampant. And we pull different organizations, put them together and forming coalitions because they have strengths and numbers.
Right.
We have to unite.
Right.
So we work together, and I was the one writing all the banners. Our people is being used as guinea pigs because they were giving the men injections in Guam, and they grew breasts like women. And then with the AIDS, with the big march that where the Haitians took over the Brooklyn Bridge and demanded that the Food and Drug Administration remove that category that was placed on the Haitians. Then it was something else. Then it was police brutality. Then you've heard about the Abner Luima case, Patrick Doris Mon, and so on and so forth. And then I realized it's not just something involving brutality against Haitians. What about all the others? That Michael Griffin, Anthony Bias, Malcolm Ferguson, you name it. So it said there's a need to link to other organizations. There's the October 22nd, December 12th, all these other organizations that are working for these various struggles because there's a system that's oppressing these groups, and in order for them to try to get out of their situation, they had to unite. It's same struggle, same fight. It's I can't say that I'm Haitian. It's just that when the boat loads of people from Africa were deposited, some were deposited in Haiti, some were deposited here and there, all over there. And then you have to be concerned of, you can't say that I'm black. You should take it a struggle for all people of color. Because my parents were born in Cuba, actually. And from when a lot of Haitians, Haiti, and especially people from the south, can easily go to, it's very short distance to Cuba and so on. And I know how the country was then, they would as they describe it to me. So it's really the same fight. So people need to come together. So I began not only working with Haitian organizations, but I look for links to unite, like around the police brutality issue. There was a coalition of different groups with the Amadou Diallo, Anthony Bias Foundation, and then we liaison what's going on and around immigration. They tried to divide the Latinos because they tried to show Fidel in Cuba that the Cubans that who hate Castro in Miami, to show them, so they're giving them, when they come here as stowaways, or and they will give them immediate asylum where the Haitians will get deported. And I've worked with groups that try to get legislature passed so that they will give equal treatment to various immigrant groups that were coming in here. So basically, that's what I've been doing. I've always been conscious that I have a responsibility in trying to help with my little two cents, whatever, however I can, to help people that are struggling against oppression. It upsets me when I hear, even if it's not Haiti, whatever country it is around, whether it's Rwanda, what's going on in Africa, and how the powers here, the imperial power, would go over there and take all the resources from the diamonds to the Coltrane chips they're using in the computers and to make this technology. And then they're selling this back to you. And now, not only that, we food, they're poisoning the food, these diseases, you don't know where it's coming from, and they're lying to their ear. And so I said, I must get involved. And I was especially upset with the media. I like to listen to news. I listen to the various programs. And I'm hearing such distortion. I have, thank God, I can speak different language, and I can go sometimes. I say, where can I get the news? Maybe let me listen to what friends are saying. They're full of crap, too. But at least when when they try, but they, you will hear something there, it will sound different from what you're hearing here. And then when I hear, when I first, the Haitian community always have these micro radios that they do. We have people with that have the skill that can put a radio station right inside their living room. And I was involved with them. But then again, the rules kept changing, and the FCC was cracking down on them. And a couple times when the guys had to run on top of the roof, I had to go too. And my family was saying, what are you doing? You're going to get into trouble. And when it comes... for the coup that Aristide was in exile, I was talking to another member of the Justice and Unity slate about the bronchitis that keeps coming, that I'm taking herbal medicine at. That was due to the fact that I was standing in below zero freezing temperature, and snow was getting into my boots and things like that. And your family said, what are you doing? And to... you're going to get sick, but I still feel that I have to do it. And WBAI is like, a lot of Haitians are taxi drivers, they listen to BAI. And during the coup that they did to take over the station, we started listening and said, what is going on at BAI? And that was a whole discussion within the community. Is it the blacks, they were claiming that they were under attack by the whites at the station and all these things. But then the type of programming that wasn't correct as far as the community was concerned. And we started learning, calling people at the station, learning what exactly was happening. And we supported all the protests that was going on to regain the station. But it was until then, although I've listened... it was until then I saw the need of coming inside the station. And I said, if they really want these communities to support the station, then they have to really, Pacifica or BAI must live up to its mission. On its mission, it's there to give voice to the voiceless. So you have to go into those communities, give them a voice, let them tell... speak for themselves what their issues are, not somebody else speaking on their behalf. I want to be involved directly. So I started working with people from Justice and Unity to get some of the bylaws to rewrite into them provision that will ensure diversity. And then I learned of the various groups that were fighting against that with all they can. And then this is why I decided to run as a staff member. I am known as part of the unpaid staff. That means I help to co-produce and co-host a show called Haiti, The Struggle Continues, to bring the Haitian voice into BAI. And And I'd be more in. I volunteer in all aspects of the station, whether it's answering the phone, going helping them in the business office, and to because I believe it's a very precious commodity we have, WBAI. We have to try to protect it, and we cannot leave it in the hands of these other groups because they will kick us out. They don't want to really speak on the issues. They don't want to deal with racism. They don't want to deal with all these other issues that are affecting us. So it's us that have to speak for that. This is why I'm with the Justice and Unity slate. And we have brilliant people and people who are dedicated to the station, to diversity, to affirmative action. If the station is going to call itself progressive, sometimes you hear the word progressive is used very loosely. And they don't. What they are is they act sometimes as just as bad as the reactionaries out there that you know. So we have to make them understand. We have to bring our voice in, and this is why I'm running. And well, am I the last one?
Yes.
So I'm going to be. And now we'll take the questions, the exchange, the dialogue.
All right. Give all the candidates a hand. Questions. Brother Strong.
I guess any of you can answer this.
Brother Strong, stand up so everybody can hear you.
Okay. Because of the nature of WBAI and its progressive stance, voice for the voiceless. These other groups that you are running against, because we've seen in the past, I'm going to ask you, what are you going to do about this? Because we've seen in the past too many times with so many so-called progressive liberal groups who have money and call themselves professionals, they call themselves that, but they're not really aligned or working with so-called left progressive groups. What can you do to stop these people from turning WBAI into NPR or WBAI light?
I would say this, and I learned this from a couple of political campaigns that I've been involved in, is that the answer to the power of money is the power of the people. Mm-hmm. That you can take on people with a lot of resources by organizing, by bringing the people out to be a part of. See, and that is a part of the program that we are talking about. We're talking about we going out to those communities that, even as an example, the Latino community, people who think Latinos we're all one, we are an extremely diverse community. And it's about us going out there and bringing those people home to WBAI. And with those numbers, we could take on millionaires. We've done that in the past, and we could do it again.
Just real quick, some of these groups are talking about the local station board like it's going to just revolutionize programming at WBAI. That's not the responsibility nor within the powers of the purview of the newly elected local station board. It has very little intervention in programming, very, very little. You have a situation in programming where you have WBI, which is a composite of a lot of different things. There's a program council that's primarily right now comprised of mainly producers. There's some representation from the local station board. We're trying to get a program council that has listeners, the people from the community as well. That's going to be a struggle because it's incorporated in a union contract. The program director and the general manager also have major input into programming. The local station board can put forth a perspective around programming, but it can't come into WBI and kick the doors down, talk about we're going to change programming, NPR light, and all these different things. Many of them want to have NPR light. They stated in their statements that they make around the elections over and over again. We're not opposed to progressive, quote-unquote, mainstream programming, where we say that who do we represent, WBI Pacifica? We represent the voice of the demarginalized, the disenfranchised, the progressive community, the radical community, the social justice movements. We're not talking about NPR. We're talking about people who are engaged in real struggles, and we want to be a part of that. We see the radio station as being an integral part of the movement, not separate and distinct from it.
And what I wanted to add to that is going back to my comment on, you know, the people on our slate are the ones who are active and have a long-standing record in our communities of working for their towards their struggles. There are many people running on other slates who do not have that connection. They are not involved daily, you know, in the life of people in their struggle. They're just concerned with WBAI and taking over that station and pushing their agenda, which is why I say, if you look at the platform that we put out, and we talk about, because everyone, this is what happens when we go to a lot of the forums, they talk about inclusion, but, you know, they perpetrate that they're for inclusion, but they're really not. And if you look at our slate, as it says here, there are 18 listener candidates and 6 staff. So we have 21 running, 11 of which are women and 10 are men. Okay, we have 16 people of color, 8 African ancestry, 4 Latinos, 3 Asian, 1 indigenous, and 5 whites. We also have a person with disabilities, with a disability, a gay man, and we have 3 people under 30. And just to tie into that, I mean, I'm not one of those. I'm almost there. I'm 33. But I'm a child of hip-hop, you know, and I am for the legitimization and the recognition of hip-hop as a legitimate movement. I was just asked to be the vice president of media for the National Hip Hop Association, and I'm actually having dinner tomorrow with Panama's daughter, who's the vice president of international affairs for the Hip Hop Association. I have a lot of different ideas about different shows because we have to have that voice on the station, because many of you know, you probably all know, you can't even talk to youth these days sometimes unless you talk about hip-hop or put it within that context. And as a matter of fact, one of the things, there are 2 components underneath the National Hip-Hop Association. We right now have the H2O Film Festival, which is a hip-hop odyssey film festival. It is now coming up as the premier urban film festival because Urban World is not doing as well as they have been at the moment. So we're going to be representing that voice on a large platform. I mean, we're going to Cuba, we're going to Europe, we're in Cali, Chicago, Texas. And the other part of that is the Hip Hop Educational Summit, where we are bringing together teachers from all over the country and giving them tools, teaching plans, and all kinds of things in order to be able to really communicate with the youth on that level. So you got a very diverse group of people here who have been and will be doing the right thing, guaranteed. So like I said, you go to the radio, to the website, and we have, go to our website, read, and if you say, well, this person sounds like they keep saying inclusion too, what's up with them? We'll tell you what's up with them, because these brothers know. They've been involved in the struggle, and they know who's who. And that's my piece for right now.
The voting process is as you remember, November 21st was the deadline for members to qualify to vote. And by the way, we fought for over a year to have the longest amount of time possible so people could be voted. The people who are, in fact, many of the opposition, I would say members of the Listprog group and some of these other people, Carol Spooner on the West Coast, they continuously fought to have the shortest amount of time. They wanted to have that deadline back in October. And we took them to court over it. Took them to court over it. Okay? To get an additional extension of 3 weeks. Took them to court. We fought them month for month. And then when that didn't work, went to court after the IPMB meeting. So, ballots will be sent out January 5th to all of the members. We have a list of all the members, qualified members. You'll get ballots, be sent out by January 5th. You have a month to get them back in by February 5th. In other words, they have to be in February 5th, not post-dated, but in February 5th. During this period of time, there'll be campaigning still going on. There's been live stuff, maybe you've heard some of it, on-air stuff. Okay, so that's basically the process.
Thank you.
Pat.
One quick thing to that. If you're a member and you do not get your ballot, make sure you call and demand your ballot. Okay. And please vote.
And the second thing, I'm sorry if I could...
There's other questions.
Oh, no, about the...
And vote, be able to vote.
Oh, yes, it's too late. Unfortunately, like I said, the deadline was November 21st. And after that, even if you become a member, you became a member November 22nd or the 23rd. It was too late.
The Comedy Club, is that the part of your BAI?
The
Christmas coup comedy.
Oh yeah, that's BAI. Oh, we don't know. We don't know if they support it. Some of them do, some of them don't.
Even if you're not a member now and you cannot vote in this election, but be sure to become one so that in the next election you'll be able to vote.
I just want to say something.
Yes, go ahead.
You can become a member by spending 3 hours. A volunteer doing the fund drive. So if you just take a path here and go and spend 3 hours, you're a member for a year, and that's a very good deal. And they're going to have a fund drive, I think, starting January 15th.
Okay. Lisa.
Good evening. I was wondering if you all could maybe briefly explain, because I'm getting like bits and pieces of this, but evidently there was one model proposed for affirmative action, and what that got voted or knocked down, and then there was this other model. Could you please explain a little bit about the conflict with both models are? Because I'm hearing that the first one was illegal, you know, and illegal as far as I'm concerned with affirmative action. There's just no such, it shouldn't be any such thing, because what we have is not sufficient.
We've always been illegal.
Exactly. Yeah. We wouldn't be free.
It's plan A, plan B. Plan A was the plan. What happened was that in March of this year, last year, in California, there was an interim Pacifica National Board meeting where there was a major confrontation on the question of affirmative action. This fight had been going on for months and months and months, and culminated in California in KPFA in Los Angeles at the Interim Pacifica National Board. Out of that meeting was forced. The creation of a diversity language committee, which was a national committee made up of national board members as well as local station board members, who are going to put together a language to resolve, hopefully once and for all, the struggle that affirmative action had been going on in Pacifica. Out of that diversity language committee, the DLC, was created a plan A on affirmative action. And that was a compromise agreement where they produced a plan that had some real teeth affirmative action in it. Some people didn't like that. In particular, many of the people we find here in WBAI, but also Carol Spooner, who's one of the, I would characterize her as, is the one of the leading tendencies that have fought for significant diversity in affirmative action, who's a power play in Pacifica, because she was the person who was the plaintiff in one of the lawsuits that brought the corporate hijackers to heel. So she has big juice. And she was the chairperson of the bylaws committee, the national bylaws committee on the national board. She decided that even though there was a majority vote favoring this genuine compromise agreement called Plan A, that she was going to take it to court and attack it that way. And based on the backward issues on affirmative action, remember California, you had UNRRA, you had Bakke, all these different things. It's a very reactionary state. She got a judge to agree that Plan B was decided as opposed to Plan A. Yet and still, you still had to have three local station boards elected to agree on any plan on affirmative action, because it was part of the bylaws. What happened was that these people, they thought they had it hands down. We call it, they thought they had the three Ks, KPFT, KPFK, and KPFA in Berkeley, and they found out that in KPFK in LA, they voted not to support Plan B. So that, in effect, their strategy to circumvent the democratic process was thwarted by LA, who they thought they controlled. It's a long story, but the bottom line was this. Plan B was ultimately decided upon through machinations on a part of this group of people that we've been fighting for the last 2 years. The way that they did it was they went back to L.A., the L.A. local advisory board and got them to vote, to take another vote, to re-vote, because it was only one vote that voted down the Plan B. It was 11, it was 12 to 11. And they went and got that person, that 12th person, to reverse his vote by arm twisting and all kind of intimidation tactics. So L.A., which was totally illegal, re-voted and voted to endorse Plan B. And that's exactly what happened. And he resigned right after that happened. And so then we had an imposed, very, very weak plan on affirmative action called Plan B. And they was great. They was, you know, they was happy as you know, whatever, you know, analogy that you want to use. And that's exactly what happened. And that, so they thought that they was going to run with it. But what happened was that we continued to fight. And we knew ultimately that the real fight wasn't even about that. It wasn't about the courts. It was about going to the communities and winning that election. Because I don't care what plan you got, if we have affirmative action and diversity, because we go and outreach to the community and create a group of people who reflect that and they get elected, that's our affirmative action.
All right. All right. What I was wondering, maybe you can help me with this. You know, the powers that be, and a lot of what the media's take over things, because the media is very important, even the radio. You know, the powers that be, is it anything that you have in the bylaws that would prevent them from going out and paying people to join members of the radio station, knowing that they're going to vote the way they want them to vote? Do you have anything in the bylaws that would prevent that from happening? Or is it just like, you know, they could use their money and power to go out and actually pay people and say, look, we want you to join, we want you to vote a certain way. Is it anything that says that you have to have, you know, a certain amount of certain people from different groups, ethnic groups, or from different, you know, is it anything in there?
The short answer is no. But the longer answer is this. One of the things that we did accomplish was to have what we call a bylaw convention coming up in a year and a half, okay? Because we have not given up on inclusion, straight up. We have not given up on inclusion. We have not given up on affirmative, on diversity, affirmative action, and we're at where we're at following major warfare, okay? And just to clarify this, our efforts to guarantee inclusion have been distorted as efforts to stop democracy. We were trying to hold back elections by waging this war for real inclusion. Okay? And I want to clarify that that's not the case. Question is whether there's real democracy. Question is whether all the people are represented. But all those things, we got to this point. Our next stop is to go to this local station boards, hopefully win there, hopefully get a national board, and in a year and a half have a bylaw convention and address some of the questions that you just asked.
Can I expand on that real quick?
Yeah.
I just want to expand on that. What they're doing right now, it's a very small group of people that are doing this, but they speak very loudly. And what they've done is they've gone onto every single internet listserv possible and flood it with messages. And they go on the radio and they flood it with messages. And they're not here tonight. They weren't in Harlem the other night. But they go to all the forums and they stack their people in there and they flood it. And what they do is they just turn people off. But what they're doing is they're speaking and speaking and speaking. And there's, 22 of us on the board, and there's a bunch of you in this room. And even if you don't have the power of the vote, you have the power to speak to other people. They don't have roots in the community like all of us do and like all of you do, but they talk really loud and they're very slick when they talk. But you can go and you can talk to people and you could spread the message that this is what's going on. And that's maybe even more important than one person voting, is 10 people going out and speaking to 10 people, which speak to 10 people, and really getting the word out there that this is what's going on. So it's very important that everyone speaks to other people to tell them what's going on, because these people are doing it and they're doing it well, and it's very important.
And that you all listen to the station too as well, if you haven't, you know, just really tune in and see what we're talking about so you can see how important the station is to our struggles.
Gene and then Brad will be the last question.
You've spoken about the fact that you want the radio station to be a part of the movement and the struggles of people. Is there disagreement by your adversaries about that principle?
Yes. Their claim is that the way the station is going, we are driving away the white middle class base, which supposedly are who supports the station financially because it's listener-sponsored radio. So yes, they don't want things that are going to make a certain group of people from a certain class of the white race uncomfortable.
Right.
And that's, and the idea is that we need to, they need to know what's happening.
Go ahead.
Okay? And they're trying to deny that, and that's basically the answer.
Do you realize, as you said about the Latino community, that the white middle class is also heterogeneous?
Right. Yeah, right. But they claim it is, and that we're driving them away.
I'll give you one example. They would say they're for inclusion of different groups of people, but under the way they control it, for instance, if there are shows of that deals with black issues, you were talking earlier about Brother Baraka. Let's say that there's a show that will speak in the way in which he would speak. They will use that because they want to voice, to be the voice of the people, not give the people their voice to speak the way they want. Mm-hmm. They would say, well, the way that Brother Baraka speaks, it's like he's anti-Semitic. Mm-hmm. They would categorize a whole broad of people and trying to put a wedge between us, claiming that that making it seem that blacks are anti-Semitic when we know that anti-Semitism is a European thing. It's, I mean, black people have good, if they're making some statements about what ills them, that doesn't make them anti-Semitic.
That's right.
So I would look at it this way.
Before you go, I just want to respond to your question a little bit, because I think a question is very important. These people support progressive struggles, okay? The analysis of our movement historically is very complex. We don't understand the role, for example, of racism within the progressive movement, or the nature of white supremacy within the peace movement, or the anti-war movement, or within the environmental movement, etc., within this country. And the way it's manifested, and it has been manifested in WBI, is an attack basically on the more radical programming. They talk about it in ways in which they say the programming of BI has become too political. Okay, that when you look at the political that they're talking about, interestingly enough, is people of color's programming that they're talking about. It's not just black programming, it's programming of people of color, it's programs around the South, around anti-globalization movements, etc. And so what they're saying is that this kind of programming, this quote-unquote too radical programming, has in fact driven away the more well-heeled white middle class subscriber to WBAI, who are much more interested in happy talk, NPR. And this is what they've been saying, and that we you know, all you turn on WBI, it's no humor, etc. You're only talking about struggles, people being oppressed, and we need to have more humor and different things like this. And so we're not opposed to humor. No, we're not opposed to humor. We're not opposed to dramatic radio, none of these different things. We're not opposed to any of these things. We just said we need to include all these other things that really reflect our movement. So I think we have to really see that the bottom line is that they have a vision of programming that essentially boxes in, okay, that limits the perspective on the world and how we see the world, and whether it's because they want to be more acceptable to the mainstream, or that reflects their own politics. But we know that their opposition to radicalism in WBI goes to the point of stealing carts.
Mm, really?
Okay,
goes to the point of stealing carts. And the carts that they steal, that is to say, if you want to make a cart about Pop is organizing around police brutality next Saturday, and we make a cart and we produce it and it goes on the air, 3 days later it disappears. And this has been going on for years, by the way, in WBI. It just didn't start 2 years ago, last year, 3 years ago. Radical cards get come up missing, they disappear. Okay? And so that's the manifestation of what we're talking about.
Brad, last question.
I look at it from this perspective. As minorities, and then dealing with a group like BAI, we as one unit must reach out to everyone within the community in unity so that we can surface the devil. Devil, once you get popularity and people acknowledge that you're doing good in a certain hemisphere, they want to tear you down automatically. In our group, we try to build unity like we did during the Kwanzaa, and this is what it was about, building unity to expand the horizon in unity and growth through, from that particular nature. Thank you.
I have one exercise of my prerogative as chairman. I'll be the last question. Rumor has it.
All right.
Uh-oh. Rumor has it that there is a movement to, how can I say it? I'm not a media or news person, so I just put it in words, to have Pacifica news all the time, and that this could possibly usurp the local news. Now, for an organization that's on the ground fighting, the local news is critical for us. It's critical that people know that the fight is going on in Newark, New Jersey, that the fight is going on in East Orange. You know, that the fight is going on in Bergen County. If the only news we have is national and international news or the top five news stories of the day, then that really is not in our interest. I mean, we could get that news basically off television. So my question is this. What would be the position of your slate regarding having local news on the air?
Well, let me first say that predicated on what is just going like, on here? Technology is against me. See that?
Just let it stay down. Just let it stay down.
Predicated upon the budgetary situation at BAI right now, everything has been streamlined. Our slate is about inclusion, which means that the only way that could possibly happen is if we are on the ground in all of our communities. In fact, I just sent my daughter and my niece to volunteer at the news department to be ground reporters.
All right.
Because that's the only way. We can't talk about global news, or we can't talk about rereading what comes in the wires and have our communities reflected, because the wire reporters don't come down here.
Right.
So it's that simple.
Just one other thing on national programming. You know, we support national programming. You know, we support national news shows. But we also support, for example, community news teams of reporters who do nothing but their beat is the neighborhood, their beat is the community, their beat is the local social justice movements. What we have to create is resources to allow these young reporters that are trained, that are skilled, to now come back into the radio station and then have an outlet to report the news, to do specials, to do specially focused programs on, and so on. So this does call for more of a radical perspective on programming. The two are not mutually exclusive, and there will be no way in the world we would support any programming or news philosophy at WBAI locally or Pacifica nationally that could liquidate the local fundamental basis for each radio station. That's impossible, and we would never let it go down, and nobody that we know would let it go down.
Thank you. Let's give the team a hand. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
You don't have to leave. You can stay because we're going to be out of here in a minute. I'll try to get out of here at a reasonable time. Please pay attention to this election and let's try to get the right team in. I have to say, I heard some of the programming on Saturday, the candidates won. I think it was like a large part of the day. I didn't hear every person, but I heard a lot of it. And, you know, I heard the candidates and I heard some of the calls that came into the candidates, and I was quite alarmed by some of the things that I was hearing. And WBAI, its real function to me is to inform and help to guide the movement. If it's not connected to the movement,
right.
I mean, I think I said this, what's brother's name that came to us? Is in the national organization, Kawita.
Bokeem.
I told Bokeem almost a year ago when he came to meet with us about what was going on BAI. I said, I told him, I said, you were in that meeting, weren't you, Fred? I told him, I said, if y'all move away from the fundamental reason why, you know, most of us are listening, then you can get that other stuff on other stations. You want music? You get music on other stations. Or jazz? There's a jazz station here in Newark, WPGO. You know, you want talk? Their station's got plenty of talk. If BAI moved, to me, its soul is the movement at the international level, national level, local level, and connecting those. And if we lose that, and if we let it go down without a fight, then we will have lost something very valuable. So I urge everybody to please vote and work in this election. And we need to do more as an organization, as POP, to support BAI. We've done a lot, but there's still more that we can do. Some of us got to try to go over and do some of the volunteer work. Yes, Lisa.
I just want to say real quickly, because I just think everybody should be aware and understand the complexity. If I'm not mistaken, I believe that there are maybe even some strong POP members, and I'm not saying anything disparaging about anybody, but who are like running on the other slate or I mean, this is just to make people just aware of how complex, not to say anything negative or anything against anyone, but we should just be aware of that.
Right. Very good. Let's push on, because there are a few things we have to take care of. I want to digress from our regular agenda for a minute and try to hit on some important